Hi, this is Sharon Lipinski. Welcome to another interview on GivingCirclesHelp.com, where we're compiling information and interviews from people around the country who are running their own giving circles so that we can improve our ability to make an impact with our giving. Today I'm speaking with Tali Baratka, the co-founder and lead of the Impact 100 Richmond Giving Circle. Welcome, Tali. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Could you start by giving us an overview of your giving circle?
Sure. A group of us had come together in the fall of 2009, working with our actual local community foundation as a main partner to establish a fund that would allow 100 women to give $1,000 to ultimately be able to donate in the community a $100,000 transformational grant. And we were able to pull that off in that first 9 month period where we from meeting for the first time to actually donating our grant in a collective decision making process. And it was just an overwhelmingly exciting experience. And now we're in our third year. And in sort of the build towards the grant, our due date is February 28th. It's at the end of the February month that we give our membership from fall till that time frame, and then our grants will be due at that point as well. So that's sort of our cycle.
Wow, I'm really impressed. So you started, and then in 9 months, you were able to raise $100,000 from Giving Circle members to donate.
Yes, as a matter of fact, in our first year, we gave $109,000 in grants. And we had a little bit, we did have a little bit that we pushed, that we carried forward, because we gave some small operation grants to all the potential grantees that first year. We had five focus areas that we focus on, which I can tell you more about. But in that particular year, we didn't get any in one category. So we had four grantees that moved forward through the voting process. And so we had one winner and then sort of three that got operations grants. We haven't continued to do those operations grants only because we were worried that there was a risk that we might not be in a position to continue that every single year. But it did go over very well. And we had a really thrilling first year, and it has continued to be a great experience.
So did you then have 1,000 women, or would that be 100 women donating $1,000?
Well, one of the things that I do think is fairly unique to this, to our model, being that it does follow sort of the impact model that you see in a number of different communities, we actually allowed there to be what we called impact circles. So in other words, in order to make it more accessible to folks, we were still aiming to get 100 women to give $1,000, but we also let folks give at a lesser level and share a vote. Mm-hmm. So you ended up sort of with circles of people. So we ended up in the first year having, I believe it was 98 women who gave $1,000, and then I think it was 36 women who actually pooled their funds to give that $1,000 to be in the group with us. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, you know, I have to say one of the important learnings I would share with listeners was I don't know that that was necessarily the best route to go. It's added a great deal of complexity to our model, and we've had to make shifts in policy. Like, for example, last year, we actually put policies in place to limit the number in those circles because they were becoming much larger than you would have initially thought, and we didn't have any language to put limit or control that, and I do think that's caused a lot of stress and again, like I said, sort of unneeded complexity. I know that there are a number of women sort of in the impact model of giving circles who've really come across very strongly that it really should be this, you know, sort of $1,000 increment, or, you know, whatever increment you come up with, but everyone should give at the same level. And having been through the experience, I'm glad we did it and tried it, because I tend to want to be as inclusive as possible. But if I were, you know, sitting with myself 3 years ago and giving myself advice, I certainly would have asked, you know, told myself, be really thoughtful about creating some limits to this.
Mm-hmm. And when you say it's added stress, is it stress for the leadership of the circle, or has it changed the dynamic of the people within the giving circle?
You know, it's all of the above. Uh-huh. So I would say what it created was a communications challenge. I think one of the wonderful things about sort of the collective giving model, if you have everybody giving in at the same amount, is your marketing and branding and communications planning, you know, if you want to get really technical, while there may be a pretty diverse audience, like one would hope you'd have a fairly diverse group of folks that could be engaged if that's your goal, you know, there's still a certain amount of assumptions you can make about their interests. Because they have all given at that same level, and their buy-in is at the same level. So I think from a communications perspective, it complicated because you could potentially have someone who gave $1,000, who's on a grants committee, who's very, very engaged, and you could have somebody who's a part of a small circle or even a larger circle, say up to 8 to 10 people, who gave $100. And their investment could be just as high as the $1,000 person, or it might be significantly lower. And that's where we came in with a lot of challenge, because we our communications, you know, we couldn't make them as streamlined. And I also think it dilutes ultimately the dollars you're trying to raise. So one of the big, big learnings that we had was, you know, all of the work that we've done, so in that 9 months, really it was about a six-month window from when the first person ever talked about it to when we closed it and all we had all the money, you know, it was like 5-6 months. One of the great things was like a huge snowball. People just told their friends about it, and it was just, it really just snowballed on its own without a ton of branded, you know, kind of communications. But in the second year, what we learned was, because so much of it was by word of mouth, you know, if the message was, hey, tell a friend to join Impact 100, and the choices were ask your friend to give $1,000 or ask your friend to be in a circle for $100, you know, it was much easier for people to just say, hey, join a circle with me. You know, so I would go out to talk to women at houses, you know, that were, you know, big houses that were clearly, and I know from just their own reputations of how giving they are in the community, and sit down with them, and they would often be somewhat confused. You know, like, what? How many zeros am I supposed to write on this check? You know? And I was like, oh, no. You know, I mean, they, you know, and often, you know, obviously, we had very honest conversations about it, and sometimes they would end up just becoming, you know, oh, let me write that $1,000 check. I'm happy to do that. Or they wouldn't even necessarily understand that that was the ask, but once they did, they were in. You see what I'm saying? So that would be, I mean, I think if you could learn anything from what we've experienced with trying to create an inclusive process, that would certainly be something I think we could talk a lot about.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting, very interesting process, especially when you think about trying to create sort of then, okay, we got to go through a change management process. We had over 400 people involved in the circle last year. And we had them at an annual meeting where we're going to vote, and we really had to tell all these women, you know, of which a fourth are $1,000 members and the rest are all a part of different size circles from 2 to 10, that we're going to change our policy. And that was definitely, I won't say, you know, it was the most stressful thing I've ever done, but it definitely, I lost some sleep. You know, trying, because again, you want to be fair, you want people to feel appreciated, and it's an exciting night, and frankly, I value anybody's involvement who wants to give back in the community, you know?
So how many members do you have right now that you would say are, that you qualify as members of your giving circle?
So as of today, so we're 2 months from our final deadline, we have 50 confirmed, you know, $50,000 sort of in the bank, I guess, as it were. So that does not translate to just the 50 members, because we do still have some of the circles in the smaller amounts. But I would say we have probably about 65 people who have signed on for next year. And we know there's many, many more that we haven't touched who are interested and want to do it. But that's, we had a call night 2 nights ago. So that's where we are in terms of our numbers. And our hope is, as we go into year three, that we don't end up at sort of the 400 number with one grant, but instead maybe get a good solid 200 individuals who are interested and involved, and then can move forward with more of a core base of folks who really get what we're trying to do.
I'm still so impressed with this number of 98 women giving $1,000 in your first year. And I know you mentioned that it started to take a life of its own and snowball, but you did something to get it to that point. What were you guys doing to talk to so many women, get so many women interested?
We just had coffee and wine with anybody who would talk to us. Honestly, we have had a pretty good social media presence through Facebook, so that was very helpful. Although we had, a range of folks who found out it other ways, but that's kind of how some of the initial snowballing started to happen. People were, oh, yeah, this is a really interesting idea. I'd love to come out and hear about it. And then they would post it on their Facebook page, and it would kind of take on a life of its own. But we really did. We set up coffees. We have a little place in town that has a nice, atmosphere that allowed us to come and hold some tables where you could get coffee or wine or whatever. And we would just really talk about it and take people kind of on this journey of envision what it would be like if you could take your $1,000 and invest in a way that would really leverage your money. And by the way, you get to be involved as much or as little as you want to be in the whole process, because we do have the grants committees.
Mm-hmm.
That once the grant request comes in, you can be a part of that and really review all the grants and then, make a recommendation. So I think the fact that we were so willing and honestly so genuinely excited about it, it was sort of catching. I think it was just the right time for it.
And though that was probably in the midst of the recession.
It was. And that was part of our spiel. We're like, we know that this is the craziest thing that you could be hearing right now at this time. But the truth is, there's a lot of talk. This is our spiel. There's a lot of talk about what needs to happen. And what we're saying is, let's stop talking about it and actually do something. That nonprofits right now are at an all-time strong mode. They've got less money and they've got more requests. And so we, as people who have the means to put in a little bit here, could actually get something off the ground in a much faster way than all the, that was during the time you're seeing a lot of newspaper articles about, what the government was trying to do. And it really was, this is not a political conversation. This is really about how can we invest money in a way that, that will drive immediate action.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's sort of like you can be sad and depressed about what the situation was like, or you could kind of be motivated by that feeling of like, actually this would be a way for me to do something about this. And people were, they were willing to sort of step in. I call them early adopters. Mm-hmm. They were kind of willing to jump on board without knowing necessarily what the end result would be.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of tears in that room. At our first, in particular, there were a lot of tears last year too, but in our first, we call it the Big Give. That's where our event is called.
Mm-hmm.
We have it in May, and everybody comes and we hear the presentations from our finalists, and then we do a live vote where we announce that night then who the winner is. And it was a lot of tears. It was very emotional. I think people, it felt like we were doing something that could really make a difference, and it did. It ultimately did.
Yeah. Where did you end up giving to on your first donation?
The very first year went to a project that was under the education space called Southside Child Development Center, and they are a program that has traditionally had, high quality. They do a lot in their training for their, child care workers, preschool workers, and they serve a very very working class population, what academics would call the working poor, essentially people who are working two or three jobs trying to make ends meet, who need care for their kids and who really do want the best for their kids. But the problem is it's a very old program, and the building that they were in is just dilapidated, for lack of a better way to describe it. So much so that when it would rain, there was like a river that ran around the building, and they'd lift the children over the little river,
oh, gosh.
To bring them. Yeah, and the roof was, coming in, would leak. The windows were really aged, and they paid a lot for their electricity. So they were spending a huge percentage of their monthly budget on just Band-Aid fixes to keep this building up, while, their program suffered where they should be spending those dollars. And there were a lot of great proposals that year, truthfully. You know, and I went in really open-minded about what it would be, but I can't tell you, it was very exciting to have them as our first year winner. The executive director of the program is a preacher's wife, a Baptist preacher's wife, and she was the most just passionate, well-spoken. She just, you know, somebody who just can carry the emotion of it. She became such a spokesperson for us for that first year and really helped us build into the second and third year and really is still a good friend. We went out this summer and put mulch down, you know. Mm-hmm. We've stayed connected and been in the paper a bunch of times, you know, with her spouting just the good works of Impact 100 and what it can mean. So it's been a really incredible experience of helping them fix their building, of seeing it and being able to really touch a concrete project that, you know, now they don't have to put Band-Aids. You know, they've got a good working, functioning building that now the kids are going to get those dollars that are needed.
And why did you guys choose that organization over the other ones that you guys were considering?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say because truly it's an individual vote that mm-hmm. ultimately carries the day, you know? Mm-hmm. So as a you know, a collective of folks, we listened. We all went through the grants process and the committee, you know, the committee process. I can only say why I think it's a good, you know, why I think it was a good one. I think because it was concrete. I think because the change or the difference could be measured. And I think for folks that felt, as the first time out, felt like a more transformative, you could get your arms around it mm-hmm. in terms of what the transformative nature would be. So I think, and I truly also believe that, you know, when you put children in the equation, this definitely pulls at the heartstrings as well. Easy to get passionate about that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely, I'll say, something that I'm thrilled that they ultimately were the first one, and it could not have worked out in a better way, if you want to know my opinion. I think one of the things giving circles who have focus areas like we do are going to struggle with, if you have only one grant to give, is it always going to go to the most heartstring one? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you're having a live vote, when you're having... when you have only one to give. I think that's something we're going to struggle with in our own work because it definitely, we've had two grants thus far. The second year, last year, went to a really cool collaborative grant between our food bank and communities and schools for the project. But again, it was another one in the education space. I was thrilled they got it. It's been awesome thus far. We've been very involved with them. But I do think for those people who have passion in the environment and the arts, you know, it becomes sort of a question for your giving circle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, do you create a policy around it's passed and you move into a different focus area or, you know,
yeah.
And we haven't chosen to do that, but I do think it'd be interesting to hear other people's perspective on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is interesting. And then maybe you can open it up to your membership to get, you know, their insight on that question. Is it something that they would like?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So 3 years into starting your giving circle, it sounds like this was in large part your brainchild and your project of love, and I imagine that you had help with that. And you're still involved in a very significant way. How have you balanced, you know, starting this, managing it with all the other stuff that you have going on?
Oh, I love that question. Everybody who's listening to this can laugh along with me. You know, I think it's very challenging. I think it is a labor of love. This is an incredible way to be involved in a community because you're not only from the philanthropic perspective, getting involved with a nonprofit that can do so much good, but part of, you know, the mission that we set out with the small leadership team that came together in those first weeks, we were, you know, dreaming up what it would all be, you know, our real goal is to educate our members. So, for example, in another 2 weeks, we have what we love to call things big. So this is going to be our big learn. And then I know, it's like kind of silly. Uh-huh. It's worked, though. You know, I'm a marketing person, so I love that kind of consistency. But we have a great speaking series that we've done, and, you know, we have high hopes for it. So we're taking folks on a bus tour of housing in our city, and then we'll also be hosting it's really a focus talk called Unpacking the Census. It's looking at census data from our community and sort of what does it mean over the years, the changing populations. Richmond, Virginia, as many people know, has a lot of sad history and a lot of amazing history. You know, there's history all around us. And so, you know, with the kind of racial tension that's been a part of our city, you know, how has that shaped our city, and what does that mean for the future, and frankly, what does it mean now for social services? So it should be a really interesting topic. But it's hard not to have a lot of passion, and I have to say, in terms of balance, you know, I don't know that I've balanced it all that well, truthfully. I think it's kind of consumed, you know, a lot of time and energy, and if you were to ask my, you know, kids and my family, they would definitely roll their eyes at times, like, oh, Impact 100, mommy's going again to Impact 100. But, yeah, I say that tongue-in-cheek. I think anybody who's thinking about getting involved, depending on what your scope and your vision is, I think that, you know, if you're anything like me, and most of the women who I've spoken with who are doing this kind of thing have a similar, you know, experience, it really captures your imagination, and it takes a lot of just love and care and feeding to make it work. And, you know, you do your best to balance just like you do everything else, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. you know, to know that maybe not everything can be perfect. And that's one of the things I'm really trying to, you know, work on for myself, even with just the numbers of membership, you know, and not being so panicked, like, it will be okay. I think everybody has that experience when they're trying to build these kind of efforts.
It takes a lot of work to get things started.
It does. It takes a lot of, and you, when you put yourself out there personally, and it takes that. I mean, like I said, the first year was about going and talking, and you know, those of us who put our names on there, you know, feel a lot of personal commitment, you know, to making sure it works and that it, you know, that it has a chance to be something beyond us, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think that's something I've talked with other folks who are doing this, is sort of how does it grow beyond you, and isn't that success ultimately, is to have it be something, you know, of which maybe I'll just be a member someday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, we're talking, you know, it's our third year. I feel like I've committed myself for 5 years. That's always been my thought in my mind, is that it's going to take 5 years for mm-hmm. this to take hold.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to put more and more strategy, more and more framework, infrastructure in place. I mean, truthfully, Sharon, in the beginning, we were like flying by the seat of our pants. You know, we were, that first year, it was like, oh, my God. We got another one. You know, like, I can't believe this is working. I mean, this was amazing. It was just amazing that it was coming together. And then, you know, more expectations in the second year. And I think in the third year, you know, people expect you to be more buttoned up.
Uh-huh.
And so we're really working on that. And I do think we're, you know, by putting a calendar together and thinking through some of those things, that helps with balance, too.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice when you can kind of set expectations in advance, like, you know, we don't know exactly what we're doing and how it's all going to work out, so, you know, help yes. us learn and communicate
exactly.
with us.
Well, and to your point about, and you can ask your members, I mean, that's the whole point, is that it's not mine. Like I always say, it's like Hair Club for Men. I don't know if you remember those old commercials, but you know, I am not just the president. I am also a client. You know, I am just a member. That's what I always try to tell people. I am just a member. If you have an idea, bring it on. You know, let's get you to the table and let's talk about what it is that you think could be done differently. Mm-hmm. So, and that's really, we've tried to be very open and very just willing. Frankly, some of our most most wonderful volunteers are people who just came to the table that first or second year and said, I'd like to get more involved. Mm-hmm. And they've gone on to, you know, lead us in directions that are really important.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tally, we're approaching the end of our interview time here, and I wanted to check with you, is there anything that we didn't talk about or I didn't ask you that you want to mention now?
Well, I think the only thing I would say is what someone said to me when I was contemplating pushing this forward, and I guess I would just leave folks with this thought. If you're thinking about this, if you're listening to this because you're in the beginning and you're trying to decide what you want to do, I really would encourage you to give it a go. Despite whatever challenges that have come our way, and there definitely are some, it has been one of the most rewarding experiences I have ever had. And I really get emotional thinking about it. It's just the good that we're going to be able to do, not only just in the community because of these large grants. I mean, $200,000, $209,000 invested in these 2.5 years we've been going at this. But I think the women that we've touched, you know, not the clients of nonprofits, but the women in these circles who have shared with me their personal stories of how they've learned something that they didn't know or how empowered they feel. It just makes it totally worth it. So I just say, no matter, you know, don't let anything stop you. If you really have this on your heart to do it, go for it, and it will be totally worth it.
Thank you for those wonderful words of advice, and thank you so much for participating in the interview today.
I'm so happy to do so. Thanks so much.